This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Boy, oh boy, the repercussions from Joe Biden's 1.5 hour, probably more. It was closer to 2 hour press conference yesterday. They're still coming along. We're still seeing a lot of consequences for him just kind of going on random rants and talking about everything from the cable news networks to Afghanistan to Mitch McConnell. To build back better, to election integrity in 2022. There was really nothing he didn't cover. The question is, did he cover it correctly? And he's really seemed to put his party in a bind. Now, one specific takeaway from the press conference yesterday that I wanted to discuss here, and I wanted to give it ample time, was Biden's comment on Russia potentially invading the Ukraine and what he called a minor incursion. Now, I'm going to play this cut, and then we're going to bring on Breitbart's Matt Boyle, who's been a frequent guest of our show, to react to this. Let's play cut 11.
And so I think what you're going to see is that Russia will be held accountable if it invades. And it depends on what it does. It's one thing if it's a minor incursion, and then we end up having to fight about what to do and not do, etc. But if they actually do what they're capable of doing with the force amassed on the border, it is going to be a disaster for Russia if they further invade Ukraine.
Matt, this comment led many people in the media and specifically Republicans to accuse Joe Biden of essentially greenlighting a minor incursion. What did you make of the comment?
Joe Biden, like, rolling out the welcome mat for Vladimir Putin to go in and take Ukraine or parts of Ukraine. How do you take away from that anything other than Joe Biden is saying that Vladimir Putin doesn't have a choice but to invade Ukraine, and that's what he's about to go do? Like, I mean, and by the way, here's the other thing. The big picture here is, we just got out of the Trump. We're 1 year into the Biden administration.
Hold on, Matt. This happens so much when we have you on. Wherever you were in the beginning, stay there, because we always seem to lose connection with you if you're walking around. So try to find a spot and just stay there, because I don't want to miss anything about what you're going to say. So start from the top.
Yeah, can you hear me a little better now?
Perfect.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so here's the deal, is that Joe Biden. Okay, so we're 1 year into the Biden presidency. The last president was bombasted by the media, nonstop, bombarded by the media with false claims, Donald Trump was, that he was weak on Russia, that he was handing things away to Vladimir Putin, so on and so forth. President Trump was actually extremely tough on Russia. He stopped them from doing all sorts of different things. Joe Biden has, and this was another part of the press conference too, he actually addressed giving them Nord Stream 2, which is the natural gas pipeline into Germany, that the Biden administration greenlit after the Trump administration held it up. So Joe Biden has given more to Russia in just 1 year as president, to Vladimir Putin, and now he just greenlit an invasion into the Ukraine, than any president of the last several decades, every president of the last several decades combined. I mean, look, during the Obama administration, Vladimir Putin took Crimea, and that is now Russian territory. The Russians control Crimea, and so on and so forth. That's never been clawed back. But here's the deal, is that the Russians are clearly about to go invade Ukraine, and now Biden has had to spend, and the White House have had to spend the last 24 hours since this press conference trying to clean the whole thing up. But ultimately, at the end of the day, and you're starting to see this. I mean, even Joe Scarborough on MSNBC this morning was saying that the Russians and the Chinese see weakness in Joe Biden. The fact of the matter is that Joe Biden is arguably the weakest president in American history, certainly in modern history. And you saw this with the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. Now you're seeing it with how he's handling Putin. And he gave Putin for what Biden himself admits is 30 to 40% of their economy, which is the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. So, I mean, literally, Biden is personally propping up Vladimir Putin and the Russian regime.
Yeah, hold on, Matt. I want to play that cut for the audience so they can understand what you're talking about. Can we play cut 13 and we'll have Matt react?
Everybody talks about how Russia has control over the energy supply that Europe absorbs. Well, guess what? That money that they earn from that makes about 45% of the economy. I don't see that as a one-way street. They go ahead and cut it off. It's like my mother used to say, you're biting your nose off to spite your face.
What do you think about that comment, Matt?
This gets to the core of both Trump and Biden's approach to energy policy. And energy fuels everything, right? It fuels your economy. It fuels your society. Like, you can't operate without energy. So we need productive forms of energy. Natural gas is arguably one of the most productive forms of energy. So is oil, so are renewables, so are nuclear. There's other forms and so on and so forth. But what Biden did in his first days as president a year ago was he cut off natural gas exploration and oil exploration, drilling exploration in on U.S. federal lands in crashed our energy independence that we had under President Trump. What President Trump had done during his administration was opened it all up and then also lifted the export ban. So we were now exporting energy under President Trump to Europe. So we were supplying natural gas. The United States was to the Europeans and other people around the world. What Biden did was he ended that. He made us energy dependent again on OPEC in the Middle East and so on, you know, and that was very, very bad. Making us dependent on the Middle East for oil and energy is just, that's what's leading to high gas prices. That's what's hurting our economy, so on and so forth. But what Biden did was he not only cut off the United States and hampered our abundant resources from getting out to not just our people, but all around the world so that we can benefit our economy and the United States' strategic position on the planet. But he also then opened up the Nord Stream 2 pipeline that he's talking about there. So it's a double hit to the United States that Biden did with the energy policy to appease radical environmentalists who are behind his radical agenda, the Build Back Better thing and all the rest of that stuff. So the fact of the matter here is that what Joe Biden has done has significantly weakened the United States, both from a security perspective. Energy represents security. Whoever's got the energy has got the power, because you've got the decision, you've got the ability to decide where it goes, what the prices are, and so on and so forth. But he's also strengthened our enemy in Russia, in their ability to control the flow of energy into Europe. So instead of the Europeans depending on the United States for natural gas, and we've got plenty of it in America that Joe Biden's just letting sit there underground, he's now given that power away to Vladimir Putin. It's truly disgusting. It's anti-American. And it's incompetent. It's worse than incompetence. It frankly is seditious, the way that Biden's been operating, because he's significantly weakening the United States' hand and strengthening our adversary's hands.
Now, Matt, I don't want to send you over the edge here, because I can tell you're already very frustrated with Joe Biden's press conference from yesterday. But I've had you on over the course of the last year on this show, and we've talked about everything from Afghanistan to energy. And so with all of those things that we've talked about, I want to play this next cut for you, and I want to have you react. This is cut 26, please.
Around this time last year when you were campaigning in Georgia, I think one of the things you told people was, the power is literally in your hands. You know, if voters give Democrats the House and the Senate and the presidency, that all these big things can get accomplished. And you know, we've seen stalemate, we've seen things being stymied. Why should folks believe you this time around?
Can you think of any other president who's done as much in 1 year?
Matt, I'm going to ask you that question. Can you think of any other president that's done as much as Joe Biden has in this last year?
In their first year as president, George Bush, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, Bill Clinton, Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush all did more, frankly, in their first 100 days than Joe Biden did in a whole year. Joe Biden is a complete and total failure as president. And this is not a partisan thing. Like, even Democrats recognize that he's a failure. In fact, it's Democrats that are holding up his agenda right now. So it's Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema that blocked the voting rights legislation that they were considering before the Senate last night. It's Joe Manchin that blocked the Build Back Better bill. They can't even get their own team on board. So look, here's the big picture 1 year into this disgusting experiment of complete Democrat control in Washington, D.C. Voting for Democrats hurts you. If anyone out there is considering voting for a Democrat, recognize that checking that box or drawing that line or however you vote is going to hurt yourself. Voting for any Democrat, for any office, anywhere in America, local, state, federal, anything, is an action that only hurts your own economic situation, your own safety situation, your own security situation, and more broadly, your country's and your community's situation. And we've seen that over the course of this year. He is a complete and total failed president. Independents have turned against him entirely. His approval rating is in the low 30s and only going down. His vice president's even worse. So look, the bright side of this is we do have a midterm election in just about 11 months, a little less than that. So there's an opportunity to course correct as a country. And then in a few years, we have an opportunity to remove this loser of a president from the White House once and for all and reinstall President Trump, who I think is absolutely running. I spoke with President Trump last night. I fully expect that he's going to be running again. He hasn't obviously formally announced any campaign, but we fully expect that he will be. And I think that we can put President Trump back in there and end this era of Democrat governance in Washington, D.C. Democrats controlling government hurts you. It hurts your family. It leads to high crime. It leads to inflation, as we've seen. It leads to high gas prices. It literally hurts you in every respect. So I get it that President Trump has his personality issues and so on and so forth. It is what it is. But the fact of the matter is he's much better for your personal situation, no matter who you are in America, than Joe Biden. So we're going to be able to stop this and end it. We've been through worse as a country. We made it through World War II. We made it through the 1918 flu pandemic. We made it through, we're making it through coronavirus. We've made it through the Great Depression. We can make it through the next 3 years of this awful president, a total loser in the White House, and we will get him out of there.
Matt Boyle, well said. And you know what? I think you just set me up for the rest of the show to have some good callers call in. If you're listening to the show right now, that's Matt Boyle from Breitbart. Feel free to weigh in if you have a comment about what Matt just said. I think he really just hit the nail on the head. Matt Boyle, you guys can check out all his stuff at Breitbart.com. Have you ever craved a great glass of red wine, but memories of the after effects haunt you? That used to be me, but not anymore, because I found a new wine. I actually had a delicious glass of this wine last night, and it's so different from other wines because a lot of wines are chemically processed to extend their life shelf, and that's why you end up the next morning having that terrible headache where you look at the bright light and you feel a little bit, oof. You don't want that anymore. It's time to skip the middleman and taste hand-picked grapes that are fed naturally by snowmelt waters trickling down the Argentinian mountainside. That all sounds great, but the taste is even better. That's what counts. You taste this wine and you're going to go, wow, this is good. It's bold. It tastes like wine. It's not that really fruity flavor. It just tastes like a delicious wine that you'd want to pair with a nice steak dinner. Best part, it's delivered directly to your home. Bonner Private Wines Partnership has exactly what you need. From my first sip, I could taste the freshness and I slept like a baby. Like I said, no morning regrets. The Bonner Private Wine Partnership is no ordinary wine club. They don't sell leftover bulk wine to just add a fancy label. They search the globe to ensure quality. Bonner seeks honest wines that don't need to hide behind excess filtration and additives, only to add an inflated price. Bonner wants every pop of the cork to be an adventure. So join the Bonner Private Wines Partnership and have it delivered directly to your home. Your adventure awaits at Bonner. Go to B-O-N-N-E-R privatewines.com/grace for $60 off your purchase. I see you on the lines. We'll take all your calls when we come back. Definitely check out Bonner Wines, by the way. Really, really good wines. And I'm very picky with my red wine, and it definitely holds up. 844-500-4242. We will be back with your calls. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
Who's better than Grace Curley?
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Polls indicate aren't happy with the way you're doing your job now.
I don't believe the polls.
That is Joe Biden. He doesn't believe the polls. I'm sure that has nothing to do with the fact that they're at 33% and falling. Interesting. All right, let's go to the callers here. We still have a lot more sound to get to, but I want to hear what everyone else is thinking about this press conference and Joe Biden's presidency in general. Let's first go to Tom. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, hey, Grace. I view Joe Biden as the president who makes the rules up as we go along. He said he would not do mandates with vaccines. He's done mandates back with vaccines. He said to the people in Pennsylvania, I'm not going to stop fracking. Well, yeah, actually he did. He did it on federal lands, not on private lands. Trump opened up those lands. And, you know, I was an electrician in my last life. And I worked up in Alaska. And in the mid-90s, they had electricians that were retiring with defined benefits of $60,000. Out of the Alaska local. I mean, those were real blue-collar union jobs that benefited working people like me. And, you know, I'm all in favor of solar, but there's only so much solar you can do in this country. And his energy policy is horrible, and we're all paying for it. And if Russia does invade Ukraine, just watch to see what happens to oil prices. We will see $4 a gallon again, and then that's really going to hurt the working people of this country. And I'll listen to your response.
Well, Tom, I think you said that really well. And as disappointing as it is to hear Joe Biden kind of make up these rules as he goes, which I think you're right about. I mean, there was a lot of things he said he was going to do. He said he was going to shut down the virus. He said he was going to unify the country. But when it comes to Russia and Ukraine, he makes that comment where he essentially gives Putin the green light to invade the Ukraine. And then he sends out Kamala Harris the next day to try to fix his mess. I've never heard of a worse idea. She creates messes. She doesn't clean them up. Let's take a quick listen here. And when we come back from the break, we'll be taking all these calls. So don't go anywhere. But let's listen to Kamala's response. Cut 40.
Did the president essentially give the green light to Vladimir Putin to take a piece of Ukraine, to take a bite out of Ukraine?
So, Savannah, first of all, I will tell you that I every morning start my morning and my day reading the presidential daily brief, the PDB, which contains classified information about threats to our national security and hotspots around the world. I am often in the situation room with the leaders of our military and our intelligence community and, of course, the president of the United States. And on the subject of Ukraine, I will tell you that the president has been very clear, and we as the United States are very clear. If Putin takes aggressive action, we are prepared to levy serious and severe costs.
I believe Savannah did follow up and said, you're not being very clear, because if you were being very clear, they wouldn't have sent you out. By the way, PDB, professional, our presidential daily briefing. I heard from Politico. There's rumors about that she allegedly doesn't read those every morning, and now I think maybe she's protesting a bit too much. We'll take the rest of your calls when we come back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. All right, before we go back to the calls here, and just hang on for me for 1 minute, it's 844-500-4242. I do want to play another cut that has been getting a lot of attention. This was James Rosen from Newsmax. He asked the question that everyone asks when they get home at night, around their kitchen tables, when they see a cut of Joe Biden. He asked about Joe Biden's mental capabilities. Let's take a listen. Cut 18, please, Jared.
Yes.
Thank you very much for this honor. James Rosen with Newsmax. I'd like to raise a delicate subject, but with utmost respect for your life accomplishments and the high office you hold. A poll released this morning by Politico Morning Consult found 49% of registered voters disagreeing with the statement, Joe Biden is mentally fit. Wow. Not even a majority of Democrats who responded strongly affirmed that statement.
Well, I'll let you all make the judgment whether they're correct.
Well, the question I have for you, sir, if you'd let me finish, is why do you suppose such large segments of the American electorate have come to harbor such profound concerns about your cognitive fitness? Thank you.
I have no idea. Yes, sir.
He should have said, James, did you just get here? Haven't you been watching the press conference? I feel like that's
I have no idea.
Or maybe he should have, you know, he really could have inserted the push-up comment right there. I can do a push-up. Because that's all that matters, you know. We might let Russia invade Ukraine. Gas prices might be very high. COVID might be surging. But the president of the United States can do a push-up. Before we get to the poll question, let's go to the calls here. Tom, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, how you doing? You guys are awesome. I listen to you every day.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Couple of things. One, I'm proud of the fact that the reporters had the gumption to ask the right questions instead of what kind of ice cream he had. Also, Joe didn't bring up stuff about border and crime. But more importantly, I watched the interviews today with Savannah and Gayle King, who's as far left as you can be. And it was unbelievable how many times they had to rail back in the VP because she was so off topic. My grandfather used to say, don't use 10 words when you can use 4. I mean, it's terrible. And we got 3 more years of this. Give me your thoughts. Thanks.
Tom, the word salad chef is back in the kitchen, and she is spinning up quite a dish. We actually have that sound. You know, sometimes to callers, it just falls into place. Like, I have a couple sound cuts I want to get to. Tom just laid this out for us so perfectly. This is Kamala Harris with Savannah Guthrie. Craziest part, before you even hear it, is that the feedback on Twitter, which just goes to show you that Twitter is the worst place in the entire world. The feedback on Twitter is that Savannah Guthrie is horrible and she's so rude and disrespectful to our wonderful vice president. I actually, for once in my life, thought Savannah Guthrie was doing a halfway decent job. Let's take a listen.
Ukrainian officials reportedly heard these words from President Biden with alarm. I know the White House tried to clarify it and clean it up afterwards, but was the damage done? You can't unring the bell. Is Vladimir Putin likely to listen to a later statement from the White House press secretary or the words of President Biden?
I will repeat myself. And I'm Vice President of the United States, and the President and I work closely together, and I know his position because he has been consistent in that regard. If Vladimir Putin and Russia takes aggressive action, it will be met with a cost that will be severe.
Yeah, unless, wait, but I was told it will be severe, but maybe not so severe if it's a minor incursion. That was the president's words. By the way, Joe Biden also came out because this is so clear to everyone. His press conference made everything so clear that Jen Psaki, Kamala Harris, and Joe have all had to come out today and make it even more clear. How clear can it be? It's like double, triple clear. It's thrice cleared. Let's take a listen to Joe Biden. Cut 42, please.
I've been absolutely clear with President Putin. He has no misunderstanding. If any assembled Russian units move across the Ukrainian border, that is an invasion. But then it will be met with severe and coordinated economic response that I've discussed in detail with our allies, as well as laid out very clearly for President Putin.
So clearly that this is my, fourth time commenting on this? Because you remember, they asked, he originally said it. He said the minor incursion. It was so alarming that someone in the press corps re-asked him that question. And just to double check, just to give him a chance. And you know what his response was? We should probably play this too. His response was, his response was basically, yeah, that is what it sounded like. Is this cut 14? Let's play it.
I wanted to follow up briefly on a question asked by Bloomberg. You said that Russia would be held accountable if it invades, and it depends on what it does. It's one thing if it's a minor incursion, and we end up having to fight about what to do and what not to do. Are you saying that a minor incursion by Russia into Ukrainian territory would not lead to the sanctions that you have threatened, or are you effectively giving Putin permission to make a small incursion into the country?
Good question. So it did sound like, didn't it?
That's what it did sound like, didn't it? This is like having a court reporter. Can you read back my words that I said 10 minutes ago? Damn, I was really on one. That sounded crazy. That could really start something. If I keep saying things like that, we might have a real situation on our hands, lady reporter. Are you ABC Mary? Jim, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Grace. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Hey, imagine this scenario. Just imagine that finally the full extent of the election fraud comes out and it's proven that Joe Biden's a fraud, which he is. Then, so that should default to the rightful winner, which would be Trump. But since a quarter of this term is already gone, he just comes in for the remainder of this term to clean up the mess. And then he's awarded his full term in 2024.
Yeah, I mean, that would be wonderful to Jim, but that's not going to happen. I appreciate the call. I just don't want to give anyone any false hope here. We are stuck with Joe Biden for the foreseeable future. And I don't want to, you know, it's not like me, Jared, to go around and take a victory lap. You know that about me.
You're quite humble.
I'm the humblest. I'm the most humble person ever. That's been said of all time. I am the most humble. I will say, though, I hit the nail on the head with one question yesterday. I said I would ask him about Kamala Harris. And someone did ask him whether or not he is going to, whether he's going to have Kamala Harris be his running mate in 2024. And he did confirm it. He said, yes, she will be there. So that's good news for Kamala. I mean, we can all take a sigh of relief that Kamala Harris will be back. Another part of yesterday's presser, and feel free to weigh in. We got a couple more minutes here if anyone wants to call in and give your take on the press conference. It's 844-500-4242. We will obviously have Howie on in a bit to give us his thoughts. But another part of this I wanted to discuss is the Mitch McConnell, because Joe Biden, it's very interesting how you can tell what bothers Joe Biden. He doesn't have a good poker face. And if you say something, and I said this, listen to me, here I go again, pat myself on the back. I can't help it. It's like Joe Biden, you know, name someone over the last year who's done a better job if you can. But I said this earlier. I said, I think that's really going to bother him, what Mitch McConnell said about, you know, how he just is off his rocker and insulting half of the country and calling them George Wallace. And Taylor actually disagreed and said, no, he's not going to have any idea. And I said, no, Taylor, he is, because that is something he prides himself on. Like his folksy old man, I worked with Mitch, I'm friendly with Mitch. And Mitch McConnell came out and really slammed him for that Atlanta speech. And that is why he mentioned Mitch McConnell so many times yesterday. And he really was taking digs at Mitch McConnell, which shows you that it got under his skin. He's upset that Mitch turned on him because he feels like it was the good old boys club. So let's take a listen to what he said when asked about his own report card. Cut 28.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. This afternoon, the Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said that the midterm elections are going to be a report card on your progress on inflation, border security, and standing up to Russia. Do you think that that's a fair way to look at it? And if so, how do you think that report card looks right now?
I think report cards will look pretty good if that's where we're at. But look, the idea that
Mitch has been very clear. He'd do anything to prevent Biden from being a success. I get on with Mitch. I actually like Mitch McConnell. We like one another, but he has one straightforward objective.
Is there some sort of psychology thing behind this where you're, I guess it's the victim mentality, but it's almost like a paranoia. His whole thing is he doesn't want anyone to like me. Well, you're making it pretty damn easy for him. By the way, the first part of that response, and I hate to throw my little brother under the bus. I know I do this a lot, but he's got a good sense of humor. My little brother, I always say this, he's very charismatic. He was not the best student, but it was always fun watching him convince my mom how well he did at school. And then she'd get the grades back and she'd be like, where's the disconnect? You said you're killing it and we're seeing a lot of D's on this report card. But hearing Joe Biden say, I actually think the report card's going to be pretty good. That was my brother, Brian. That was Brian the morning before the grades came out. Well, Mom, things are looking pretty good. And everyone at the kitchen table is like, oh, this is going to be bad. This is going to be bad. But let's go to the callers here. Tony, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tony.
Hi, Grace. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
I think there's a part of the press conference, and I've been watching incessantly anything I can, any conservative station, and I've been watching more TV than listening, but I haven't heard anybody address the question, did you press President Xi for transparency? He acknowledged that he did. He acknowledged that President Xi just said no, and he acknowledged that he accepted that as an answer. There's 853,000 lost American lives. I want my president to do better than, okay, you don't want to let us.
No, yeah, that's a point of, you know, we had Steven Nelson on earlier, Tony. He was the reporter who said, you know, did you press President Xi on what happened? And you're right, Biden's answer, which I was just more stunned that he brought up Hunter Biden at the press conference. Biden's answer was, yeah, he doesn't want to tell us. And you're right. And this is an issue that has kind of perplexed me from the beginning, which is we were all so quick to turn on each other, to turn on Trump, to get angry at our politicians when this virus started. But there was very little frustration with China. Did you notice that? It was like you couldn't say it. I don't know if people thought they'd seem racist, but you couldn't say, listen, why was China sending flights here knowing that they had this virus? Why was, you know, the Chinese government allowing flights to come over here? And those are questions, the Wuhan lab, the origins of this virus. Those are all questions that should be demanded by not just Republican senators and Republican congresspeople, but by the president of the United States. China should be held responsible. What they've done, whether it was intentional or not, we need to get to the bottom of it ASAP. I mean, people lost their businesses. People lost, more importantly, their loved ones. And I don't understand how we just skipped over that thing entirely, where it's like, oh, it's all Trump's fault. Oh, now it's all Biden's fault. Why don't we go back to where it started? Just a thought. Bill, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, Grace. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Grace, I saw the, if you want to call it, the display yesterday, and it was just disgusting. I am so disheartened with our president, and how long can they keep on lying? How long can the press lie and lie and lie? It's just disgusting.
Yeah, I think a lot of people felt that way. I actually called my mom in the middle of the press conference, and she voiced the same opinion. It was disheartening, and it was also strange to see how someone put this really well the other day. They said, you start to feel bad for the guy, but when he's lucid, he's such a jerk. Like, he reverts right back to being the biggest jerk. And his whole theme yesterday, beyond the fact that if Democrats lose in 2022, it means the elections were rigged, which, by the way, I guess questioning elections is back in vogue. Tell your friends. It's cool again. But beyond that, it was this idea that everything is the fault of Republicans. I'm doing a great job, which I think for me was the most jarring. It's like, at the very least, you can level with this and say things could get better. But he really thinks he's doing a remarkable job, and that's kind of frightening. And I said this at the beginning of the show, so I guess it's a perfect way to kind of end it before we bring on Howie. His theme was, what do Republicans stand for? And whether or not Joe Biden thinks this is fair, standing against all of his policies is going to be enough for a red wave. His policies are that bad that just by standing up against them, people will vote Republican because people are so afraid of these radical progressive policies. So he can sit there all day long and say, tell me, answer me this. What does Mitch McConnell stand for? What do these Republicans stand for? It doesn't matter. They're not you. They're not you. Ironically, that's what got him elected was that he wasn't Trump. But now it might come back to bite him because people are going to start to say, I don't really know what this Republican wants, because God knows Republicans don't always do the best job of putting their message out there. But right now, all their message has to be is, I'm not Joe Biden. I'm not a radical Democrat. I'm not a woke progressive. And for a lot of the country who are exhausted right now and frustrated and angry, that is going to be more than enough for a red wave. And Joe Biden knows it. So that's why he's bringing out the world's smallest violin. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with Howie Carr. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, of people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Follinsbee Inn in beautiful North Sutton, New Hampshire, my favorite weekend retreat, no matter the season. That's Follansbee, the Follinsbee Inn. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you think Biden will hold another press conference this year?
I don't think so. The amount of damage control that has had to be done since yesterday, I'm going to say no. But I would also like to allow my guest, Howard Lawrence Carr, to weigh in. What do you think, Howie?
I'm going to say no, Grace. I can't imagine it.
Yeah, we're not that lucky. You know, we've already been so spoiled with this first one.
77% believe no, he will not.
All right, Howie.
Remember when Reagan, they always used to do the radio addresses on Saturday morning, and Reagan just made a joke, and he said the bombing begins in 5 minutes, and everybody freaked out. You know, it was like it was the end of the world, right?
Yeah.
And the minor incursion, as one of the texters said yesterday, a minor incursion is like being a little bit pregnant.
Exactly. I mean, it's just something that you can think that, but you don't say it out loud. That was his whole problem yesterday. Howie, what do you think, and we only have a little bit of time here, but what do you think the major theme was of that Q&A yesterday?
I got to get this done. I think that was the major theme. Before the Sugarfoot marathon begins on Meet TV.
Yeah, he was having a lot of moments where you could tell he was trying his best to be Trump-like, looking at his watch saying, you guys want to go a little longer?
Where's my little tray? I've got my little tray waiting for me, and it's got a Swanson TV dinner on it and tapioca pudding for dessert. They're going to let me use the remote control tonight once I get out of here.
844-500-4242. You know how he's got a great show planned. Don't go anywhere. This has been The Grace Curley Show.